Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Welcome today, and it's good to be with you. My name is Matt. I feel like I've been like plugged into an electrical socket for a while. I kind of feel a little bit fired up, so I hope you catch a little bit of the fire today. Today's message is for anyone that is having a hard time seeing or recognizing what God is up to right now in your life. Okay, today's sermon is for anyone that's having a hard time seeing or recognizing what God is currently up to in your life. Are you feeling stuck? Are you feeling like you're having a lack of vision? Are you feeling a little discouraged right now? Today's message is for you. And I think we've all been there. You know, in our head, we've known that God is close, but we have felt alone and isolated and really confused. It's a big difference, right, between the things that you know and how you feel. There can be a huge discrepancy. I remember going to Bible college in Canada, and yeah, Canada, eh? One of the orientation things it is, they took us to this big suspension bridge. Do you know what a suspension bridge is? Just a long wooden bridge and kind of held up by cables. In my head, I'm thinking, this bridge can hold me because it's held a lot of people. So in my mind, I know this bridge can withstand. And at this time, it was all 140 pounds of me. This bridge can handle my weight. In my head, I knew that to be true. But it didn't change the fact that I felt scared, right? There can be really a big difference between what you know to be true and how you are currently feeling. And so anyways, I remember walking across the bridge afraid. Have you seen any of those YouTube videos of this bridge in China that is made of LCD screens? And it looks like the ground below, but you step on it and it looks like it shatters. And you won't sleep if you watch this. Such a thing does not exist, so don't worry. But anyways, I made me think of that, and that was really scary. So, but today's message is for anyone that needs clarity, anyone that needs some new perspective. Will you stand with me as we read from God's word? Our scripture today is in John chapter 9, starting in verse 1, and the he is Jesus, okay? So as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, listen to this, people. Having said these things, he, Jesus, spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. This is not sanitary. After said these things, he spit on the ground. He made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud, and he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. God, this is your word, and we pray that you would open the eyes of our mind and the eyes of our heart to see you in a brand new way. God, I pray that you'll give each of us new perspective today, that you'll lift us up from some of the obstacles we see right now in the immediate, and we'll start to see things the way that you do. So God, we pray that your word would do the very thing that you have endued it with power to do, and that is to transform every single area of our heart and our mind and our soul. And God, we come to you this morning with that ambition in mind, that you would do a miracle inside of each and every single one of us. So God, we come to you today. In some ways, we're blind. And in some ways, we're having a hard time seeing. In some ways, we feel lost and discouraged. And God, would you meet us in our most immediate point of need today? Yes, if that's you, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In the spirit of doing what Jesus did, I have some dirt here. Just wondering, if anyone has some vision problems, I will gladly spit into the dirt and rub it in your eyes, and you will be made well. Any takers? Oh, yeah. Gene James is very trusted. You know how hard it is to find dirt in Los Angeles, by the way? I was like, where am I going to find dirt? It's good concrete everywhere. I had to break up the sidewalk outside to find a little bit of dirt. Here we see Jesus doing something really gross. Jesus was clearly a youth pastor, is what I'm thinking. Jesus does something with dirt and with spit, and a miracle happens. I'm baffled by it. I'm baffled by it. So anyways, after service, if you have an ailment, we'll rub a little dirt in it, and you'll be feeling fine. I don't think he was using Los Angeles dirt, so that might play a role in the whole thing. If I ever tried to rub dirt in your eyes, first of all, be very concerned about me and my sanity, or maybe the Lord told me to do it. So if I come running at you with mud in my hands, I just get your phone out, start videoing, because either this is going to be a classic meltdown moment or it'll be an internet sensation. So just get your phone out. Just for everyone's here, if I start running at you with mud in my hands, either the Lord is going to heal you or I'm going crazy. Either way, you're going to want that on video, I think. This miracle goes down as one of Jesus's most creative miracles. And Jesus did so many miracles and signs that there are actually categories to all of Jesus's miracles. I, for one, have categories for the miracles that God has done through my life. And it's two categories, successful and not successful miracles, okay? And the not successful category is very large. The successful miracle category is very small. Jesus was really successful in doing miracles. So successful, in fact, that he had to categorize all the successful miracles. We can put the different miracles that Jesus did in different successful categories. We have miracles where Jesus just proclaimed something and it happened. We have miracles where Jesus has dominion over nature, like he calms the seas and the winds. We have miracles that Jesus proclaims things. We have miracles that we studied a couple weeks ago where Jesus multiplies food. So Jesus has done so many miracles that we can actually categorize them, and because there's so many of them. And whereas for me, I have a category, successful, and a whole bunch of unsuccessful categories. We're nearing the end of our series here, and we're looking at seven miracles from the book of John. So the book of John, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John is the fourth of the Gospels, and John's book reads a lot different than the other books. And in John's Gospel, he lays out for us this story of who Jesus is. And it is with the hopes that you and I will connect the dots of the information John gives us, and we will conclude that Jesus is no ordinary person, that Jesus is truly the Son of God. The author, John, he wants it to be clear, and he wants it to be compelling. The tremendous news that Jesus wasn't ordinary, but he was the Bible's promised rescuer. He was the very Son of God sent into the world to set us all free. So in John, the seven signs we've looked at so far, Jesus turns the water into wine. Someone say, come on. Jesus heals the official's son. The paralytic was healed. He feeds the multitudes, and then he walks on water. Thanks, Pastor Rick, for preaching that one a couple weeks ago. He walks on the water. And in John chapter 20, it tells us that Jesus did many, many other miracles, but these were the ones that you need to know so that you can conclude that Jesus is the Son of God. And it says this in John chapter 20, it says, but these are written, these miracles, these signs are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. I'm telling you, if you connect the dots that John has given us about who Jesus really is, and you connect the miracles, the signs together, it points you a direction. Just like a sign on the road will point you a direction, these signs point you to conclude that Jesus is amazing. That Jesus is the promise that God had for us to rescue all of us. And that in understanding who he is, that we would believe, we put all of our faith in Jesus. The passage we read is the sixth sign. So we have one more next week, where I'm actually tag team preaching with John Graves. Yeah, I know. Are we still gonna wear our wrestling outfits? Okay, just checking, because I've been wearing mine every day for the last week, just getting ready. As Jesus passed by, he sees this blind boy. We actually don't know his age. He was old enough to speak for himself. So it's probably, I'm gonna say 13. That's my guess. As Jesus is walking by, he sees this blind boy. And the disciples are quick to wonder whose fault is it? Because when we see some sort of injustice or we see someone who has maybe a bad lot in life, don't we usually do that? We say, someone needs to get blamed for this. This doesn't seem fair. This isn't right. This poor kid has been raised and unable to see, and we need to blame somebody. That's what the disciples were thinking. Who gets the blame? And Jesus realizes that's not the really question here. The question here is, what are we going to do now with what's going on? See, disciples like to blame and like to figure out the source of a problem. Jesus likes to meet you in the middle of your problem. And he likes to point us not to the past, but he likes to point us to the future. And that's exactly what Jesus does. Jesus says, that's not the real issue right now. Why is this boy blind? The issue at hand is, what is God going to do now? Imagine you had that kind of perspective of your life. I can't tell you how many appointments I've had with people in my office, sitting at my desk, and people pouring out their trials and pouring out their pain, pouring out their marriage issues, their family issues, pouring out their struggle with addiction. And they are saying, I'm so upset that I'm currently dealing with whatever you can dream of. I'm so sick of dealing with it. I wish I wouldn't have had done that, or I wish they wouldn't have done that to me, because when they did that, when they said that, it made this become reality. And what I want to tell people, and I'm gonna tell you because I can, is I want to stretch over the table and put my hands around their neck and say, quit looking backwards. Let's look at what God wants to do right now. Because it's so much easier to cast the blame and blame somebody else and not take responsibility and say, Lord, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? We're better at looking back than we are at looking forward. So Jesus does something that only Jesus should do, is he makes a little bit of spit mud and he puts it on the guy's eyes. Anybody else want to gag a little bit? Or does this sound like a facial? Like spoiling? Just working out some of the stuff. It's my massage voice. When I started reading this passage, and honestly, I'm gonna tell you right now, we may get to point one and that's it for today. Because I could not get past the first four words of this section of scripture. I could not, as I was meditating, I was praying on, I just read these four words over and over again. And so point one, and possibly the only point today, is Jesus is passing by. I just couldn't get past those first words from John chapter 9, and it says, as he passed by. As he passed by. The picture we get is of Jesus just walking by, and Jesus' eyes catches this blind boy over here. Jesus is passing by. It's not that Jesus was going directly to him, it was Jesus was passing by, and he was aware, and he noticed. I just think that for me, how many people do I walk past every single day and I don't really notice them? I'm just in a hurry doing my thing. But Jesus, filled with the Spirit of God, walks by and he notices as he was passing by. It was almost like he does a double take. Like imagine at your house, maybe your front door or your work cubicle or your favorite restaurant. Just imagine with me, are you picturing your favorite restaurant, the front door to your house? Imagine you look past and Jesus just walks by, nods, and then he goes, comes back around again. It's like Jesus does this double take. Yeah. Jesus is passing by, but he gets struck with an immediate need. And he's like, this is more important than where I was going. I want you to know that Jesus notices you. Like he sees you. He doesn't just pass by you in your pain. He is unable to pass by you in your pain. This is why Jesus has come, to meet you in the middle of your pain. So too many times, I'm the same way. I just think Jesus has got too much going on right now. I mean, there's like wars and Donald Trump is doing stuff and he needs to pay attention to that. And I think Jesus has other things to be concerned about. And so he doesn't notice my pain, but he notices my pain. He notices my loss. He notices the weight that I carry, and he notices it all for you too. As Jesus passed by, I just keep getting this picture of Jesus passing by the door, kind of giving a nod and then going on. And then he goes, wait a minute, something just hit me. There's an opportunity here that you can be set free. Yeah. Imagine that good news for you today. Yeah. Unless your life is perfect, in which case you should be up here preaching. I will continue to receive a paycheck, but you will do all the work on Sundays. But imagine that Jesus would be so aware that he would notice your pain. And he wouldn't just pass by. Like, he wouldn't just keep his schedule, but he would be inconvenienced to meet with you right where you are. What would it look like if Jesus passed by you today? What would it look like? What would it feel like? Would you want to make eye contact with Jesus as he walked by? Or would it be like fifth grade history class when the teacher asks a question and you look down? Or sixth grade every class, or seventh grade every class, or all of seminary for me. Any teachers in the room, you know that feeling, or any students in the room, you know the feeling when you don't want to make eye contact because you don't want to get called on. I wonder if Jesus came into the room, if physically Jesus just stood up in his sandals and everything and just walked down the aisle, would you want to catch his eye, or would you want to get missed by him? That actually tells me an awful lot about what you think about Jesus. Because if you think of Jesus as being patient and kind and gentle and full of mercy and grace, then you run into that guy's arms right away. But if you see Jesus to be disappointed and frustrated and burdened and overwhelmed with how broken and how much of a mess you are, then you want to hide from him. Would you be afraid? Would you feel shame? Would you feel joy? What if Jesus walked by and what if he stopped in his tracks to meet with you? And I'm here to tell you, no matter how stuck you are, how broken you feel, how much regret you have, how much shame you have, Jesus notices and he is not offended by any of that. Jesus is passing by. Will we be aware of it? I see what the disciples do. So after Jesus goes and sees the blind kid, the disciples say, whose fault is it? His father, who sinned? Who messed up to make this boy's reality be like this? And this is where I want to encourage us all to avoid the blame game. We're good at blaming other people, aren't we? I happen to be semi-professional at blaming other people. It's always someone else's fault, right? Grace knows this about me. If she asks me to do something and I don't do it, I usually don't own it immediately. I usually blame. And the easiest person to blame is Mabel because she can't speak yet. Oh, I would have taken out the trash, but Mabel. I mean, she's just taking all my attention right now. I like to blame other people. But as soon as disciples see the blind man, they want to know who to blame, who sinned. And instead of being present in the moment or hopeful for the future, they want to blame someone. And we've all done this. We've all tried to reason out why our situation is the way it is. I have sat with too many couples who poured out the pain of their relationship. And they say, our relationship, our marriage is really bad. And it is because we slept together before we got married. Or our marriage is really, really bad and it's because I had an abortion before and I'm paying for my past mistakes right now. We do that. We look back and we say, my life is miserable because of them, because of that. And you just carry it along. That is not how Jesus functions. He doesn't ask us to look back so that we are filled with shame. He does ask us to look back so we can gain wisdom and understanding. But he would rather that we embrace the moment of his presence right there and we start looking ahead. Has anyone ever driven on the 405 by solely driving, looking at your rearview mirror? That will last not very long at all. I might be super weird, don't applaud, but there's a straight stretch of freeway, the 90 up in Washington, and there's a straight stretch. And I remember one of these times when I'm driving back and forth from school or something, I thought, there's no one on the road. I thought, I'm gonna stay in my lane, but I'm solely gonna navigate by looking in the rearview mirror. Evel Knievel right here. Don't try this at home. But I thought if I can look in the rearview mirror, I can see what lane I'm in and I can just correct as I'm going. And I should be able to look in the rearview mirror while going forward and stay in the lane I'm staying in. Doesn't that sound idiotic? Yeah. Misguided would be a nicer word. But we do the same thing when we try to move forward in life by only looking backwards. Right. No wonder you keep running into things. No wonder you keep hurting yourself and hurting other people because you're trying to move forward by only looking backwards. It just doesn't work that way. Instead, we should just embrace the moment we're in and start looking forward to the things that God has for us. Yeah. Jesus quickly corrects the disciples' line of thinking And he doesn't see the blind man's current situation as a time to lecture him. He doesn't see the blind man, and this is a great time for me to expound on the scriptures for him. He doesn't see it as a great time to correct or rebuke him. Jesus sees this as a great opportunity to heal his life, to bring like a new vision, to not just to bring a bright new future to his eyes, but also open up his spiritual eyes to the reality that the Son of God is right there. And he just rubbed dirt in your eyes. I wonder if we had that perspective of your pain. So you may not be blind. That might not be your situation, but there's some sort of brokenness. There's some sort of weight. There's some sort of shame. There's something that you and I are all carrying that weighs us down. And what if instead of just feeling like we have to carry that burden, we met Jesus today, and in meeting Jesus, Jesus comes. He says, you don't have to carry that anymore. I'm not going to blame you for any of it. I'm not going to critique you. I'm not going to criticize you, but I just want to meet you right where you are. And we're going to do something weird. I'm going to rub dirt in your eyes, and you're going to be healed, and you get to have a brand new life, a brand new hope, a brand new future. Your life, every single part of you gets to be transformed when you meet with Jesus. That's what I want. I want that personally, selfishly. I only want that for me. No, I want that for you. I think a lot of us have allowed Jesus to bring some healing to a part of our life. And we said, Jesus, I give you rule and reign in this area of my life. And didn't he do a miracle? Yeah, he really did. But there's other parts of our lives that we have restricted his involvement. We've shut him out. We locked him out. This would be the equivalent of this blind man who says, you can rub your spit mud on one eye, but not on the other eye. Jesus wants to come and he wants to do radical, invasive, full, holistic healing in every area of our lives. That is the gospel of Jesus. He wants to come and renew every single part of you. He wants to fix every broken part of you. He wants to give you perspective and hope in every single part of you, not just the part you want to allow him to have rule and reign over. The third one here is trust the process. And this is where we literally get to the dirty part of the story. Trust the process. This is what I know about Jesus. And you know this too. Jesus heals people in lots of different ways. Like he really does. He speaks healing. We've seen it just in the miracles we've looked at. Jesus and the official and his son is dying at home, and Jesus proclaims him well from 25 miles, and immediately the son is well. Jesus has the ability to proclaim healing, and it happens. So why didn't Jesus do that this time? Why didn't he just say, eyes open, says me? I don't know. Why didn't he just do it that way? Jesus seems to do miracles different all the time because he is just infinitely unique in how he interacts with our lives. And sometimes we don't trust the process that we're in. We want a microwave solution, but we've got a crockpot God. Right? We want a bing, bing, bing. It's going to be hot and fresh and ready to eat, but God has a slow cooker style. We don't trust the process. You can't make chili in a crock pot and have it done in 5 minutes. You can make chili and put it in the microwave and it'll be hot in a minute, but we don't trust the process. Jesus makes mud with his saliva and the dirt, and he rubs it in the guy's eyes, and then he asks him to go and wash his eyes off. Can you just picture this for me? I know it's super weird to think about the Bible as literally happening, but this really literally did happen. So come on, John. I will be Jesus, of course. And Jesus and the blind man. I was teasing. You'd be a better Jesus. I saw a picture of you in the Easter play. Easter. Yeah. You didn't have your shirt on. Okay. Yeah, that, sorry, I embarrassed you. I have pictures. I'll email them to you, put them on the website. So Jesus goes to the blind man. You're blind, and we're going to take care of it right now. Hold on, scoops up some dirt, spits in the dirt, makes a little bit of clay, puts it on his eyes, and says, go wash it off. And that's exactly what he does. But why didn't Jesus just do this a little bit cleaner, a little bit more sanitary? I think it's a good lesson for us that sometimes the healing that God wants to do in our hearts, it's a journey, it's a process. Think about it. At this point in time, so you got the blind guy with the mud on his eyes. He's never seen Jesus. He's never seen him. He's heard his voice. And he's supposed to go and take this mud on his eyes and then go to the pool and wash off. I mean, it just baffles me that Jesus wouldn't do it differently. But I think the lesson for us is, are we going to walk in our healing? Are we going to put in a little bit of our effort and our time? Are we expecting God to do all the work and we're not going to respond in any sort of way? I think for some of us, God has proclaimed healing and wholeness over your life, but you need to choose to walk in it. Right? I mean, it's easier said than done, right? Because I know some of you have received prayer. Some of you have received prayer for really difficult things. Like you've been really deeply wounded and hurt and you've been abused and neglected and offended. You have. And I'm not just saying you just disregard all that. You just start walking happy again and just trade it all for joy immediately. It doesn't always happen that way. But sometimes God can proclaim that there's healing and wholeness and then we get to walk in it. We have to trust the process. When you understand the process to something, it makes the outcome much sweeter, in my opinion. Take, for example, my grandmother's raviolis. So I have an Italian family. My grandma made homemade raviolis. Now, I would show up just not aware of any of the journey that took place to the homemade ravioli. Homemade ravioli in the Kladnik household is a three-day journey. One day is sauce. One day is pasta. The third day is the filling for the ravioli. And they are so good. Better than your raviolis, I'm just saying. I know that to be true. Don't even try. Now, I love my family's homemade raviolis. But what makes them better is when I understand the journey that it took to get to where they are. As soon as I was at home and I saw my grandma's apron and I saw the flour all over all the counters, I smelled the smell in the house as she's preparing them. I saw all that. And as I witnessed one time, I remember I was there and I got to see the relationships that are forged and formed through the 3 days of cooking. When I sat down to eat these homemade raviolis, I had a brand new appreciation for them because I saw the journey that was involved too. I didn't just see the warm ravioli on the plate. I saw every step, every twist, every laugh, all the sweat, all the tears, all the hard work. My grandma wouldn't let us use an electric meat grinder. We had to crank it by hand. So that was usually my job because I'm the buffest one in the family. But I started to see the journey. I started to see the whole process. And because I saw the journey and I saw the process, it made the outcome all the more sweet to me. It made me appreciate it all the more. And I think the same might be true for the way that God works in our lives. That he could just dump on you healing. He could just dump on you freedom. And he does, and he does. But sometimes he also gives us the opportunity to walk in it because he wants us to enjoy the journey of it all. He wants us to enjoy the story of it all. He wants us to enjoy the process of it all. Because when you understand the process, you understand the journey, you own the results in a whole different way than if something just gives it to you for free. Just like the first car I had, my parents gave it to me and I treated it like it was free. The second car I got, I bought it and I treated it like it was a luxury Mercedes because I knew the process of ownership. I knew the journey. I knew the work that it took to have it be mine. And I think the same is true for us. We want God just to swiftly come in and fix everything and just we run out and do whatever we want to do. But I tell you, you will own your freedom better when you understand the journey and you understand the process of it all. So the mud in the eyes is so gross. I read in a Roman medical journal from AD 50, and they actually believed that saliva had like healing medicinal properties. It was actually one, if you had a rash, you just had someone spit on you. Yeah, if you had pink eye. And so issues with eyes were a really big deal in Bible times because they didn't have like the doctors and stuff. But this was one of the issues. If your eye was infected, here's the cure. Like, I paid for that? Is that really a solution? So Jesus could have healed this man in so many different ways. But I think that Jesus was also telling a story. He was bringing new vision, opening the eyes of this man and opening his spiritual eyes and opening his physical eyes all at the same time. But Jesus had this way of doing two things at one time. Jesus had this way of doing something brilliant and also teaching something brilliant, maybe very subtly. We look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God forms man. What did God do when he formed man? He took some of the dust of the earth and he opened it up and he breathed into the nostrils and he formed man out of dirt. So when Jesus comes and he brings healing by making mud out of his saliva and the dust, it was also a picture of, do you remember the last guy who did something creative with mud? It was God. In Jesus healing in this way, he was saying, I am him. I am him. I'm the guy you've been thinking about. I'm the guy that God promised you would show up, who is the God who is before everything else. I am him. That's why we have all these I am statements in the book of John 2. The one in this one is, he says, I am the light of the world, right? And Jesus has come 2,000 years ago, and he still shows up every single day to come and bring new perspective to our lives. So imagine Jesus walking by in your life. And imagine that he isn't indifferent or bothered by your situation, but he's keenly aware and keenly present. Because I know he is. And imagine Jesus comes up to you, and what is it that God would heal in your life today? You might have a long list, you might have a short list. There are some of you, and I've been praying for physical healing in your body for a long time. I have. Joe, remember that time? Okay, funny story. We got time. We were doing the service on a Sunday night, right? And Joe has a problem with one of his ears. It can't hear as well. And I knew that. And I'm friends with Joe. And so I was like, I'm sitting on the other side. I'm like, I want to pray for Joe. I want to pray for Joe. So we had an opportunity where we could pray for one another. So I came over. And as I'm getting over there to pray for Joe, I felt like the Lord told me something really, really weird. And it was this: stick your finger in Joe's ear. I was weirded out. That was my response, exactly. And I was not going to do it. I was not going to do it. So I came over to Joe, and I put my hand on his shoulder, close enough to his ear, and I prayed for him. And then he leans over to me. He's like, do you think you could put your finger in my ear? I was like, no! But I did. It was this finger, everybody. Still got some wax under the nail. Too much? Not enough? Okay, still no. That's such a weird story, Joe. But I know that I was obedient, and so were you. And you know what, Joe? If I have to do stupid things like that 1,000 times for one miracle, I'll take those numbers. I'll take those numbers, right? And so we're all contending for God to do a miracle. And I don't know what your miracle is. I don't know what it is exactly. I was thinking about my job here at the church and how much I love pastoring the church. And I was thinking about, why do I really do what I do? Have you ever asked that on a Monday morning at your job? Why am I really here? Remember that song from Tracy Chapman? Give me one reason to stay here. Or I'll turn right back around. Yeah, I sing that every Monday just like you do. No, but I just wonder, why do I do what I do? Why do I pastor? Is it because I want to entertain you for an hour on Sundays? No. Is it because I want you to enjoy each other? That's not really my motivation. Is my motivation that I just want you to know God's word better? Yeah, that's part of it. That's not the whole thing. Can I tell you what my only source of motivation is for doing the job that I do? I want each of you to meet Jesus above all else. I want you to encounter Jesus in a way that you've never done it before. You may be at this church for one more week. This may be your last Sunday. But I hope that you leave this place, when we all leave, knowing Jesus better. My only desire is that you know Jesus better. I realize that I do a disservice for a lot of you because on a Sunday, you get talked at for a while. And on Sundays, you sing some songs for a little while. You get to do all the experiences of church, but you don't always get to hear him. So today's closing is going to be very different than anything we've ever done before. I think some of us just need to slow down our lives a little bit, and we need to listen. at our conference, we learned we don't have a good theology of doing nothing. We don't have a good theology of resting. So today, instead of having some sort of rah-rah, go be the church, I want to end today's service with a minute of complete quiet. The introverts are like, come on. You're going to get a minute, and it's going to feel like 10, okay? I did it at home, and I was like, there are things not happening that should be happening right now. I'm going to give you a whole minute, and what would you say? I want you to imagine that Jesus is close to you, and we just close your eyes, and then we're going to do our minute. Would you imagine that Jesus is close to you, and imagine that you could say anything? Take all the filters off of your prayer life, right? You don't have to say it politely. You don't have to say it correctly. You can say exactly what you need to say. What would you say to Jesus today? And what would be your request? What would be your petition? What is the biggest pain of your heart? What is your biggest need? Would you feel free just to share that with God? And how would God speak to you? He is infinitely creative in how he heals, and he's also infinitely creative in how he speaks to us. So I believe that God is going to want to give some of you a picture today. He's going to give you a scene, just like in your mind, you're just going to see something that wasn't there before, and it's going to speak to you. Or maybe he's going to remind you of a dream you had a long time ago that you filed away as being just weird. Maybe he wants to remind you that. Or maybe God wants to speak to you, this is my favorite way, through his word. And so maybe you're just going to hear a page number, 682. I don't know. You're just going to hear a page. Open it up in the Bible and just see what God would speak to you. Trust me, if you need God to speak to you and you're not reading your Bible, then you're shutting down his number one means of communication. So we're going to take a whole minute. And I just want you to have a minute just to quiet it all down, to slow it all down, to ask God all those questions and just allow him to speak to you. Can we do that? Okay, it's going to be a whole minute. Let me set my timer. Ready, set, go. How did it feel to get some things off your chest? Did anybody feel like God said anything or showed them anything? You want another minute? Let's do it again. But imagine we did something so countercultural as that. Instead of being in LA and being such a hurry to get stuff done and accomplish and strive, that we just slowed down every once in a while and just said, I can't do the math right now, but there's lots of minutes in a day. And what if I gave you one? Like one to listen. Imagine the things that God would speak to you that you've been too busy to hear for a long time. Imagine the love that he wants to pour out on you that you just can't receive because you're too busy striving and achieving things. I don't know about you, but I think maybe the most countercultural thing we can do as Christians in LA is nothing. Imagine just to slow down a little bit, be more present. I want to be more like Jesus and not be in such a hurry. I want to see people in their pain, and I want to come and meet them right where they are. I want to trust that God's going to do a miracle. So God, as we wrap up our time together, we are encouraged by your word, and we're encouraged by the story of how Jesus met this blind man and how his total life was transformed. And God, I pray that we would each experience that kind of transformation. So God, for anybody that's here today and maybe their relationship with you is vague and it's different and it's distorted and it's complicated, God, would you uncomplicate our relationship with you? God, would we be empowered just to take off some of these barriers we've made between us and you? God, would you do a healing and transformative work inside of each of our hearts? Because God, we come to you, all of us, some degree, we're broken and hurting. And God, would you meet us right there at our most immediate point of need? God, would you give us hope instead? Would you give us a future? God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that has come, not just that we would enjoy a day, but that we would be empowered for a week. So Holy Spirit, would you come and fill each of us up? God, any area of our lives that is lacking, any area of our hearts that is wounded and not functioning the way it's supposed to, God, would you bring new life to that? God, would you shed new light on the dark parts of our hearts, God, because we've all got them. We've all got corners and cupboards where we are hiding things from you. God, would you expose those things that are in the dark to your perfect light? And God, would you, as our perfect surgeon, would you come and perform the surgery necessary to uproot these things that are cancerous inside of us, that we could be freed, God, to walk in the fullness of the life that you have for us. So God, I pray that we'd be present, we'd be aware this week. God, as we go out of this place to wherever we're going, God, would we be mindful? Would we notice people around us that you notice? God, I pray that you'd give us your heart for the people at our workplace. You'd give us your heart for our neighbors. You'd give us your heart for our family. You'd give us your heart for the coworkers. God, would you give us your heart for the people we're around? God, I pray that you'd fill each of us with compassion. As I'm praying, I just see that happening. I see a pitcher of water being poured out till the point it's overflowing. So God, would you do that inside of each of us? Would you fill us with compassion? And like we sang earlier, would you move us with compassion? We want to see your kingdom come. We want to be your hands and feet. So God, we leave this place not just feeling entertained or feeling like we had a moment with you, but God, we pray that we would have a moment that would transform our whole week. So God, we look forward to next week and to celebrate your goodness and your faithfulness. God, would you continue your miracle working power in every life? Everyone that's contending for a miracle in their body, God, I pray that by your grace and by your strength and your might, you would touch these bodies in Jesus' name. God, I pray for Joe's ears, you would open them up. God, I pray that you would touch his life because I know you love him. God, would this be a picture of your goodness and your faithfulness? God, would you extend your hand of compassion into Joe and his entire family? God, I pray that you would restore. God, I pray that his ears would crackle and pop, just like when you're landing in a plane. God, I pray that his ears would open up in Jesus' name. And for anyone that's dealing with cancer into this room, God, I pray that you would touch their body. God, I pray for every sore back, every mechanically rebuilt knee. God, would you bring your healing in Jesus' name? Because God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so God, we preach and we teach about the miracles, not because they happen afar, but because they encourage us for our present. So God, would you stretch out your hand of compassion and meet us in our immediate point of needs? God, for anyone with eyes that are having trouble with their eyes, would you just do a miracle? I foresee a day where I'm gonna take my glasses off and stomp on them. So I just foresee a day where your promise is gonna be made complete. And God, for every life, if that's you and you just need God to touch your body, would you just put one hand in the air just so I know who I'm praying for? God, you see these hands up in the air. And God, we ask you, would you release your healing power? Because you're a good father and you love putting together broken things. God, stretch out your hand of compassion, your hand of healing over these bodies in Jesus' name. God, we pray that as it is in heaven, it would be here on earth. So every shoulder, every back, every mind. God, I pray that you would lift depression in this place. Guys, we're doing church right now. God, I pray that you would lift depression in this place like a weight, like a weight vest. Take that weight vest of depression off. Anyone that feels that pressure on their chest, God, I pray that they would just for the first time in a long time be able to take a deep breath. So God, we pray that you would just touch these bodies. God, that this would be your house and in your house, it's your rules. So God, we want to live by your rules. So God, would you repair, restore, renew, do the things that you've come to do by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Did anybody feel encouraged like God showed up today in their life? Yeah. Let's do this again next Sunday, okay? So be the church. Have a terrific week, and we'll see you next Sunday.